So today on the program, we're going to learn about a group of Quincy residents that have come together called Adjust Quincy in response to the recent salary increases approved for the mayor and for the city councilors. There is a referendum petition underway to try and repeal those measures, and Joe Murphy and Maggie McKee are here to tell us a little bit more about it. So guys, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Adjust Quincy, is this a brand new group in response to the salary increases, or is this a pre-existing group?
We're like we call ourselves a ragtag group of citizens who just were disturbed by how this came about. We're disturbed by the scale of the salary increases, and there was a bunch of us that were working to get in touch with other citizens and our counselors. And we just felt like it would be easier if there was a quick name that people could refer to us instead of our 10 names or so.
Okay.
And so I came up with Adjust Quincy because I thought it was catchy and it kind of fit.
Okay, so is this in direct response, though, to this issue, or were there previous issues that Adjust Quincy
directly responding to the recent ordinances.
Yeah.
That's not to say that we won't have other projects to work on. We're getting along great. We're really effective, and so we'll see.
Okay, all right. And when we say we, how many would you say, roughly?
So there are, I think, 24 or so people who started organizing, just saying, let's do something. And then we put out this poll to sort of gauge who was opposed to the raise so that we could tell counselors, and we sent any comments that they sent along as well. And by in just a few days, by the vote day when they were voting on this on the 17th, we had 500 people sign the poll, and most of them left comments about how they didn't feel that this was right. And then since then, we've had some more, so we have more than 600 now. So it feels like also just being out and about in the community, it feels like people are. They said, oh, we've been talking about this for a while, but we didn't know we could do anything about it. So I think it's bothered a lot of people. So
okay, which leads us to this referendum petition, right? Apparently there's a state law that allows these ordinances to be repealed if enough registered voters sign on to it, right?
That's right.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Well, it's Section 43 of Title VII, paragraph 42, but basically what it says is if you can get 12% of the registered voters to sign on to the referendum petition that we, you know, a member of ours named Lori made up, and we had it checked by Solicitor Timmons, we can get them to either repeal it, the city council, or if they choose not to repeal it, it would have to go to a vote of the entire electorate, either in the next either in a special election or the next general election.
So that'd be 2025,
city elections.
Yeah.
Municipal election in 2025.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So as I understand it, 12% would be about 8,000 registered voters. But there's a timeline, right?
Yeah, they don't give us much time. 20 days, so it's around July 8th, depending on when the clock started, but we're being conservative. And yeah, we need about 8,000 signatures, so it's a very heavy lift, but we're getting a good response, and so part of why we wanted to come on your show is just let people know it's an option.
Okay, how many have you collected so far, would you say, even just roughly?
excuse me, so I just created a form so that people who are collecting signatures can update this after every time they collect, but most people haven't used that yet, so we're still kind of getting our legs, but we have a couple hundred people, I think, so far for each of the ordinances. So there's one to repeal the mayor's salary and one to do the counselors.
Okay.
But the real number would be higher than that, but we still have, whatever the real number is, we still have a really long way to go. But I think the way I kind of think about it is that even if we don't reach our goal, it's still a useful thing to do because we can share information with each other and build community and kind of let people know what's happening in case people don't. A lot of people have said, oh God, I've been talking about this with everybody I know, blah, blah, blah. But in case people don't know, we're also just letting people know about it and letting elected officials know we're paying attention, and we hope that they will know that their actions will have political consequences.
We felt like we needed to flex democracy's muscle a little bit in the city right now. It feels a little bit more like a benevolent dictatorship at the moment, where, you know, the mayor and the city council are in lockstep. You know, there was very little discussion at the city council meetings, and very little pushback other than Councilor Minton. And it doesn't feel right, considering how many citizens have expressed concern that there isn't more pushback. There's no rush here. There was no reason to push this through before the summer, for instance. It could have been passed in the fall and still taken effect on January 1st of next year, the way it's set up. Why they had to push it through so quickly without discussion eludes me. And so by doing an exercise like this, hopefully we make our goal. I think we can. But if not, it's still empowering people.
Right.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Maggie, you was also part of Quincy Votes, right?
Yes.
So is this maybe an effort to at least encourage more interactive participation among the voter status?
So this is definitely not a Quincy Votes initiative.
Right.
I'm just in it, but it definitely feels to me like in terms of Quincy Votes wants to build civic participation. So we're doing that.
Okay.
So I think in that sense it dovetails. But yeah, this is kind of a separate thing. I think possibly the reason why they did it, it was the last council meeting before the summer break. It was where they voted the budget in for 2025. So
exactly.
I don't know if they could have.
I believe they can. This brings up another topic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mystery and misunderstanding on how the parliamentary procedures at city council work. In fact, one of the councilors came out with a statement after the last meeting, admitting, very like honest, and I admire him for this, saying, "I didn't realize what I was voting for on one of the things. I thought I was voting for passing a procedure in the fall, but I apologize to my constituents because I didn't mean to vote for that." So if their own city councilors are having trouble following the parliamentary rope-a-dope going on, I think it speaks to this greater problem where we're kind of like short on democracy right now, and we feel like the state set up this recourse, the referendum. It's not our favorite. We feel like the time frame is completely too short, but it's what is given to us. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to work with what we have to kind of give people the power to at least express what's going on or their concerns about what's going on.
Yeah, what is the timeline, Joe, right now to collect the signatures and then get them to, I'm guessing, the city clerk's office, right?
Yeah, we are hoping to get them back to the clerk's office by July 8th.
Okay.
There was some discussions within the clerk's office as to whether or not the clock would start a couple days later or a couple days forward. What we don't want to do is bring them in a couple days later and find out all that effort missed because we misunderstood the date.
Okay.
So we're aiming for July 8th right
okay.
now.
Okay. Then do they have to be certified like any other type of voter list? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to be a lot of, you know, God bless the clerk's office. They'll have to go through it. And
yep.
Yeah. And then from there, like I said, from what we understand, the city council will either, they'll have the choice to repeal it or put it to the people in an election.
So there would have to be a special council meeting then called just for this issue?
That's a good question. Since Maggie and I might disagree on this, but neither one of us are sure. I don't think they would have to have a special over the summer session because the raises don't take place until 2025.
Right.
So I think they could probably bring it up in the fall, but
well, I just mean I think the fiscal year starts in July for 2025, so very soon. And
yeah.
So I think they voted on that before the but maybe they could amend the budget.
That's what I was thinking.
They probably
can't. So does the council have to repeal it based on the state law? What are their options if we're able to get the necessary signatures in on time? What are the council's options?
So they can either repeal it straight away themselves,
mm-hmm.
or these raises, these ordinances would go on a ballot in the next city election, or they would have to call a special election to vote for the raises again. So okay. either way, if we got enough registered Quincy voters in the time, then these raises would not automatically go through. They okay. would have to be, they would be repealed completely, or they would be put to a vote for people to decide.
Okay, they couldn't yeah. just vote again in favor of them.
They could put forward other ordinances to vote themselves more different raises.
So they can make amendments? Because it's not included in your yeah. petition.
No,
it's either fully repeal
well,
or...
Well, that's yeah. what no, the yeah. options
that's,
are.
Yeah.
But you're right. You bring up great points that we've already discussed. None of us are municipal lawyers. I can't find too many times in the state's or the Commonwealth's history where this has happened. So I'm not really sure. Could they turn around and lower the raises by a dollar and put them out again? Probably, but I think they would be doing so at the peril of the people's mm. wrath, in my opinion.
Okay. So, as I understand it, you're not against raises.
No.
Just the way this was done, the process in which was this done, and then the amount. Is that right?
The amount especially, the process too. Speaking for myself, I had a problem with the Dormanson report immediately when I read it. It seemed like a big, robust study, but really it was only about 10 pages. The rest of it was copied and pasted job descriptions from other towns. And reading their logic, it seemed like they were creating a data set to find the right amount when there's already a data set. There's thousands of mayors in this country. There's about 100 cities with 100,000 people in the city. There's tons of places to look for the right amount. There was no reason to go to a different position like city manager. It felt to me that the Dormanson report started with the conclusion and worked backwards. Mm. So I wasn't happy with that. But that being said, the mayor should have raises like everybody else, and so should the city council. We did our own analysis. If we had given the mayor a 3% raise every year since his last salary adjustment.
9 years ago, right?
9 years ago. Yep. The salary would be around $200,000.
Okay.
And that's an even better deal than the city workers got, because they didn't get 3% every year. The teachers didn't get 3% every year. That's a pretty generous, stable number, in my opinion. And it's a pretty good raise, in my opinion. What the Dormanson report came back with just basically splashed the table for, you know, to use a poker term. It was just like, what are they doing? I don't understand. I do purchasing in my day job a lot, and this would never have sufficed as a cost justification in the private sector. Mm-hmm. When a report comes back so out of line with norms, you have to get another concurring report, you know, instead of just going with this one opinion. There absolutely should have been another study done. We live in a region with thousands of professors who have expertise on this. The Dormanson people even admitted this isn't their strong point. I think there was ways to figure out the right number, and I don't think they did that.
Maggie, you have some visual aids you
yes,
wanted to talk
I just,
about?
Yes, yeah. I just made these because, so I was curious and I did some research. Massachusetts has so many different government types, it's a little bit bewildering. But we are in what's called a Plan A government mm-hmm. type, which is also called strong mayor, weak council.
Yes, yep.
And so the Dormanson report that Joe was talking about is a consultant's report to justify the salary increase for the mayor. But it uses city and town managers who are actually from a whole different type of government, where in those types of governments, people elect a board or a council, and then those people put out a job description saying, we want, you know, someone with these qualifications to manage the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person has certain job requirements that they have to meet, and they have annual performance reviews. For example, Cambridge does theirs in public, so, you know, the city manager would be sort of in a group setting and asked to answer for whether or not he, in this case, met performance goals, mm-hmm. and that this elected board or council can fire the city manager okay. at any time. So it's really a different system. And if you look at the there's something called the Massachusetts Municipal Association. So this mm-hmm. is really quite getting into the weeds, but there are 15 Plan A cities in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And if you, these are those cities in order of population size. So North Adams at the small end and Boston at the big end. And if you take an average of their population, it's about 108,000, which is not too far off Quincy.
Similar to Quincy, yeah.
And the average salary for their mayors is 140,000. So here's where Quincy is right now, and it's in line here. And then you see the new salary, mm-hmm. and it's much higher mm-hmm. than anything mm-hmm. else. So higher than Boston, and you know, and it was reported in the press that you know, the mayor has a higher administrative burden than the mayor of Boston. And sometimes it's just hard to know. It's hard to believe that people are making those arguments. But I also did some research. So I looked up the 10 most populous U.S. cities, and then I compared the salaries of their mayors to the new salary. And this is just, I put them in order of the salary, so it would, you can see. So 9 out of 10 of the biggest cities, their mayors make less than the new salary for the mayor. So only Los Angeles out of the top 10. And each of these cities is at least 10 times the size of Quincy.
And are these also Plan A forms of government, do you know?
That's a good question, okay. But I think many of them are, but I don't know if all of them are, but I just thought, what are these other cities that are really huge? So, but anyway, yeah, so this is, both of these, I think, indicate that the salary for the mayor is out of line, and, you know, also you could compare to the governor, which he would make more than the governor, and both of our U.S. senators.
Yeah, and it's public service. That's one thing I want to point out. Public service is not a path to financial prosperity. It shouldn't be. You know, that's not what our founders wanted.
Oh.
You know, yeah, and like we did some research when we were putting all this together, mm-hmm. and this is a quote from the Federalist paper, Alexander Hamilton. It says, the salary should neither weaken his fortitude by operating on his necessities, nor corrupt his integrity by appealing to his avarice. And what that basically means is you should pay them enough so that they can, you know, live and do their job and be comfortable, but you shouldn't pay them so much that it becomes a financial windfall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the counselors were concerned that we won't be able to attract good candidates without raising the salary to this level. But I don't think they're thinking about the flip side, which is you could get somebody who will stay entrenched long past when their ideas and their mission should be over.
But isn't that what elections are for, Joe?
Yeah, well, that's true. But, I mean, can we agree that when incumbency is a huge power in Quincy? I mean, the last election, Mayor Koch outspent his opponent 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think we can agree that elections are something that the whole country is dealing with as far as campaign finance. It's a common belief. I don't think there's going to be a shortage of people to run for mayor. Our last opponent for the mayor went on to become a town manager. She was obviously very qualified to be our mayor. She went on to be a town manager and another. So we're not short on qualified candidates. What we're short on is candidates who want to take on a huge political machine. And if you talk to people away from microphones, that's what the constant thing you hear is, I don't want to use my war chest until I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out that these ordinances affected 10 positions. And all 10 are filled by people who just won re-election. Those people who won re-election knew the salary of this job, and they wanted the job. As someone who works with hiring and firing people, it makes very little sense to change their salary months later. They knew the salary. We're not in danger of losing them. The mayor just ran for re-election. He wants the job. He's going to stay in the job. The counselors did the same. why are we pushing this now when they just agreed to take these positions? They just got sworn in weeks before all this started. It just doesn't seem right.
Well, the whole process has been brought into question. Matter of fact, Councillor Kane introduced an ordinance to change the way the salaries are set for city councillors and for the mayor, right, to include a review process every 5 years based on the cost of living and performance issues. I spoke to the mayor about this, you know, and number one, he agrees the process needs to be looked at. But he also feels that it probably won't change. In his words, probably won't, the salary won't change again for another 9 years, he says, because that's how it's always been done. And he feels that it's a personal attack on him because folks don't like him.
That's not, you know, that's insulting because a couple counselors said that as well. Oh, the people that seem to be calling me about this are people who don't like the mayor. First of all, I don't know how they come to that decision. You know, they're making assumptions because when I call my counselors, they don't ask me, did you vote for the mayor? Okay, I'm kind of out there politically. People know, you know, I have bumper stickers, let's put it that way.
But well, you've run for elective office yourself in the past.
Yeah. So I'm kind of an open book about that stuff. But the idea that we can't have an opinion that doesn't jive with the mayor's opinion is because of animus or, you know, we don't like him, it really upsets me. Because actually, I have nothing against the mayor. Every time I talk to him, he seems like a very nice man. I think good things have happened in Quincy. I think some things I don't agree with have happened in Quincy, but that's true of any. Mm-hmm. If Anne Mahoney had won and she put through this, we would be out there getting signatures.
Okay. So where do we go from here? You need about 8,000 signatures by July 20th. They have to be
in July 8th.
By July 8th.
20 days after, yes.
And as I understand, they have to be in person. Is
yes.
that right? This cannot
we
be
cannot
an online.
Do it online.
It's a wet signature.
A wet signature.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you going to accomplish that?
So we're here. We'd like the people who are watching your show who agree to want to sign this petition to go to adjustquincy.com. We are making it very easy as we can. We are going to people's houses. We are showing up in public and just waiting. We are going door to door. We're doing a number of different strategies to try to make it so that people can express their will on these petitions without, you know, too much trouble. Mm-hmm. So if you get in touch with us, you email us, we will come to you. And we also have a list on our petition page of where we're going to be. So we're keeping a list of like, oh, we're going to be at Kilroy Square between blah, blah, blah. And you can, and we've had people really take advantage of that.
Okay.
You know, people show up, say, I saw the website, I'm here to sign, you know. So that's kind of where we are.
Okay.
Yeah. We've had about 60 people sign up to help collect signatures,
okay.
which gives me hope that, you know, if it were just us out there getting 8,000 signatures, that would be really tough. But I think, people are really motivated and new people are signing up every day to help collect
okay.
signatures.
So I mean, if this is all successful, you know, the salaries are repealed. What then? What happens next?
Well,
I'm hoping a better analysis is done. I hope they get a different opinion. I hope they go through a real public. I want them to have a public hearing. The public didn't, as far as I know, have anywhere to express what they wanted to do here. So I think a more transparent, open, maybe a little bit slower process would be in store. And I think it would feel a lot better to people wherever they end up on the salary then.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you have kind of figures in mind for where you think the salaries for the mayor and city councilor should be? Or is that not something?
I think, we wouldn't. We
have
probably
personal opinions.
Each have
right.
personal opinions.
Right.
Yeah,
I
already told you mine. I
yep.
think
yeah.
the 3%
yep.
ending up there makes sense to me. But I think that's what exactly the process should entail, is people should express. I think it
okay.
should follow the teacher's opinion or mm-hmm. or the city workers or the unions. But there's ways to do it that make sense. We just don't feel this way made sense.
Okay. All right. Anything else you'd like to add right now?
Just that we do think the mayor should have a raise. We do think the council should have a raise. We believe in a good process. And you can find us at adjustquincy.com.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, we'll be out and about, so hopefully people will see us and stop to sign or just chat, because we'd love to just even explain why, because there's some people that I've talked to who again think that maybe we're just against the mayor, mm-hmm. and I just want to say no, this is the process. And it, for me, it was a very discouraging and worrisome thing to observe how this went down, mm-hmm. about how our government is working. And so I think just letting people know that, you know, we actually all have to kind of make the change that we want to see in the city and in the world will help us in general and make a stronger city.
Yeah. Curious, how did you learn about this state law? You know, how did that become revealed to you?
So that was actually a woman named Lori. So it's been really interesting. Oh. We didn't know a lot of the other people who were interested in this issue, but people were posting about it a lot on social media, mm-hmm. and so I think she had done some research. She was posting on Nextdoor, and initially she found out that our city charter said that raises should not go into effect until the following term after they're voted in, and after they're put to a vote in a municipal election.
Right.
So after she'd done that, and then I was calling, we were all calling around to try to figure out with the Attorney General what the rules are. Does our city charter have teeth? Apparently it doesn't. She stumbled upon this process, and so she's the one who did all the work to get the language in the format that it needs to be and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So yeah, it's been really nice to kind of connect with new people.
Yes, yes.
And different people have different expertise. So
yeah. Yeah. Is this something you have to register with the state, like as a part of a campaign?
No.
I'm assuming if money is spent, though, there would have to be some kind of a process.
If the money is spent on elections or anything, absolutely. And I'm talking to OCPF about what it would take to make it a committee.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping we don't need, because I'm just closed my OCPF, Joe.
Okay.
And I really don't want to open it again.
Office of Campaign Political Finance, for folks who don't know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you both.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
The opportunity to learn about this and keep us updated.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. See you next time.